been a long time since I've been to the Sunday evening Mass. I went to Rome to receive the pallium, which I'm wearing this evening. That's this piece of white wool around my shoulders and hanging in front of the vestment. And this is given to archbishops by the Holy Father on the Feast of St. Peter and Paul during the year that they were appointed an archbishop in a diocese. And so I went to Rome. Some of the people of the archdiocese came with me at the end of June to receive this symbol. And it symbolizes two things: the unity of the Pope with the bishop of a diocese. He is the head of the College of Bishops and the successor of St. Peter. And to be a good Catholic bishop, you have to be in union with the Holy Father. And the archbishops of the church receive this as a symbol of that. So when we see this, when we put it on, we're reminded of our relationship with the Pope and the importance of my doing all that I can to be in union with him by what I teach, and also the union of love, which all of us owe to the Holy Father. So that's one meaning of the pallium. But the second meaning, I think, is in some ways more significant, at least to the local bishop. The pallium is made from wool, which is taken from sheep, that are given to the Holy Father on the Feast of St. Agnes. The word Agnes, if you know your Latin, Agnus Dei, Quitolis Peccati Mundi, the word Agnes comes from the Latin word Agnus, which is lamb. So on the Feast of St. Agnes, they give the lambs to the Holy Father, and then the wool is shaved, taken off the lambs and given to a group of sisters in Rome, and they go to their looms and they make these pallium. Pallia is a plural for pallium. And the shape of the pallium is very significant because it's supposed to symbolize Jesus, the Good Shepherd, carrying a lamb on his shoulders. I think we've all seen statues or pictures of Jesus carrying the lost sheep. And just as he carries the lost sheep, on the back of his shoulders, this hangs over the shoulders of a bishop, reminding the bishop that we're supposed to imitate Jesus, the Good Shepherd, and spend our ministry in search of the lost sheep. So this is a reminder to me of the responsibility, the burden on my shoulders, to be a good shepherd after the pattern of the Good Shepherd Jesus Christ. So this is the first time I've worn it in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, and I wanted to wear it today. We don't wear it all the time. We wear it on the most important feasts. But I wanted to wear it today because of the scripture readings. It's the first reading in the gospel are about the importance of the good shepherds in our lives. So let's look at the first reading and see what it says to us in the situation of today. It's a passage from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. And Jeremiah is in the process of criticizing the kings of Israel and Judah because they were not good kings. The kings took to themselves in ancient Israel the title of shepherd. So we ordinarily think of shepherds in the context of priests who are supposed to be our good shepherds. But that's not what the Israelites thought of when they thought of a shepherd. They thought of the king. And unfortunately, the kings of Israel and Judah, after King David, for the most part, were pretty corrupt kings. And they didn't do a good job of leading, being responsible for the sheep of their flock, which were the people of God, the people of Israel. So in this reading, God, speaking through the prophet Jeremiah, promises that he will eventually give the people of Israel a shepherd worthy of the name. And we know that promise was fulfilled in Jesus Christ, who is the leader, the one with responsibility, ultimately in leading the people of God back to God through his life, death, resurrection, and ascension to the Father. Now, how do we apply this reading to ourselves and our time? Because it's important for us always to do that, to know what it meant, but then also to apply what it means for us today. Well, obviously, the first meaning of this reading would be the same as it was when Jeremiah spoke these words, that the words that God is speaking here, he's speaking in a special kind of way to the political leaders in our communities. God is telling them that they have responsibilities that come from him. And that responsibility is not to lead us astray, but to lead us in the appropriate kind of ways, to be good and to be holy, to be members of a community that's full of justice and full of love. Now, do the politicians do that? I don't know. Some people are shaking their head no. But politicians typically, most leaders actually typically, are worried about their own reputation, right? And about the opinion people have of them. So sometimes, like the kings of Israel, the politicians of our day are more concerned about themselves and their next election than they are about God's people. So if any of you are politicians, if you're elected community leaders in your own community as mayors or council persons or in any other kind of position of civic responsibility, you receive a challenge from today's first reading to be busy about your responsibilities after the fashion of God, who is our shepherd, and Jesus, who is the true and good shepherd that he's given us. But it's always important then to apply it, not just to them, but to ourselves. And so almost everybody in this room this evening, in this church, has some position of responsibility towards others. I see three sisters, Dominican sisters, sitting here. Which one of you is the superior of your community, sisters? Sister raises her hand. Well, this reading is about you in this particular context, as you have a responsibility for the sisters that are under your care, at least for this summer, I imagine, in summer school. But who else? Who else among us have responsibility to lead and guide in the community? Most important, this lady in the front row just pointed to her husband. And he could equally as well point to her, right? Because the most important shepherds in our lives are not politicians, but are our parents and our spouses. You know, the primary responsibility for the people of our community lies with their families. That's more important than the government. It's really more important than the church, actually. It's in our families that we first hear the gospel. It's in the example of the love that our moms and dads have for one another that we learn the love of Jesus Christ. And parents are responsible to both preach and live the gospel as a good example to their children. So how many of you are parents? Raise your hands. All of you are challenged by today's first reading to be good shepherds after the fashion of Jesus Christ. And of course, in a very special way, the words of today's scripture readings apply to me and those who serve you as your priests and as your deacons, because in the tradition of the church, we are the pastors. The word pastor in Latin is translated into English as shepherd. And those who are responsible for the preaching of the gospel in the church are required to look at themselves and analyze their ministry in the light of today's reading and ask whether or not we're being good shepherds to our people. Now, here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, we've had a difficult time with our pastors, haven't we? I mean, we've been scandalized by the action of some of our priests, and people have been upset with bishops for not doing a better job of protecting the sheep of the flock and of leading the church in these difficult times. And so those of us who serve the church as your bishops have to look at ourselves and take that criticism that you offer and the criticism of the scriptures very seriously, and then to recommit ourselves to be good shepherds after the fashion of Jesus Christ. Now, when I put on this pallium, whenever I celebrate Mass and put on this pallium, it reminds me of my obligations to you. And I ask you to do all you can to help me be a good shepherd by being good sheep. You know, a shepherd can be the best shepherd in the world, and if the sheep decide to stubbornly go where they want to go, rather than listening to the voice of the true shepherd, God, speaking through the church, through the shepherds of the church, then there's very little we can do about it. So if there's problems with the church, it's not just my fault, it's also your fault, because we if we're going to have good shepherds, we have to have faithful sheep. And if any of you know anything about sheep, you know they're very stubborn, independent, and they tend to wander off on their own rather than listening to the voice of the shepherd. So none of us gets by without criticism from this reading. Whether we're parents or teachers or political leaders or pastors in parishes in other communities, the Lord challenges us to be faithful. And he warns us, "Woe to the shepherds who mislead and scatter the flock of my pasture," says the Lord. May the Lord guide us so that we won't experience the woe of this first reading. The second reading is every Sunday is actually the psalm and the psalm response that we sing. And today's psalm response is extraordinarily appropriate because it's that famous psalm about the Lord being the shepherd, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In verdant pastures he gives me repose. Besides restful waters he leads me. He refreshes my soul. You know, Jesus is that shepherd. He's the refreshing waters, and he's the verdant pastures. And we're invited always to come to him for the kind of refreshment that we need. And we see that reality mirrored in today's gospel reading, where the apostles have just returned from being out preaching two by two, and Jesus invites them to come off into a quiet place to pray and to talk about their experiences. And that leads into today's gospel reading. Okay? So, the apostles gathered together with Jesus. So gathering together with Jesus is part of what it means to be a disciple. Gathering together with Jesus. We do that on Sunday when we come together for Mass. But we're also supposed to be doing it in our homes, when our families come together in prayer, or when we find time in our personal lives for moments of prayer and reflection. You know, a serious part of being a disciple is to find time to be with Jesus, to be together with him. And it says here, the apostles reported all they had done and taught. When's the last time you reported to Jesus about what you've done and what you've taught? Parents, we'll pick on you for a little while yet. When's the last time you've talked to God about your duties as a parent? When's the last time you reported to God on your successes and your failures? Husbands, when's the last time you reported to God on your relationship with your wife? Wives, when have you done your dialogue with God about your relationship with your husband? This is what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, to spend time with him, and to be in this communion of sharing life and what's most important to us. So Jesus said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." When have you felt your need to do that? Parents, almost every day, I guess, huh? Your children are constantly at you. When you're older and I guess your parents grow up, it's not so bad, but when your children are young or in high school or in college, you're very anxious about your children. And it's hard for you to find time and space to go off and to pray and to spend time with the Lord, as Jesus invited the apostles to do in this gospel reading. And we see the circumstances of their lives and Jesus' life is the same as our own, because when the people heard that Jesus was taking his apostles off to this deserted place, they heard where it was going to be, and what did they do? You know, somehow they beat him to the place. You know, Jesus went in a boat, and they ran around the shore, and when he arrived at the place where they were supposed to spend time on vacation, there they were, asking for his attention. And it says, when he disembarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them. Actually, the Greek word is that his bowels stirred with anguish for them. I mean, this is not just a thought that Jesus had. Deeply in his heart, you know, the Jewish people thought the feelings resided in your innards, in your bowels. So he groaned deeply inside himself with compassion for them. And the reason for it is, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. And in response to that, he began to teach them many, many things. So what does this teach us? Well, it teaches us that we need to go aside and try to find space to pray and to think and to have some vacation. But even if we do that, we have duties that are more important than taking care of ourselves. And the duty that's more important than taking care of ourselves is taking care of those for whom God has given us responsibility. I went fishing in February. I was really looking forward to it because it was the first vacation I had after becoming the Archbishop of Philadelphia. And I've had a lot of things to do this past year, as you know. I was there for one day, and then Cardinal Bevilacqua died. So instead of going on my vacation for a week, I came home. And I griped about it a little bit to God. You know, why didn't you wait a while, or, you know, whatever. But nonetheless, I came home because I had duties and responsibilities to the Cardinal, his family, to our priests, and to all of you. I mean, that happened to me, but it happens to you all the time, doesn't it? We never get a vacation from our responsibilities and duties as shepherds, as being responsible for others. Moms, you'll never have a moment where you don't have a duty to take care of your children and your husband. And husbands, you'll never have a moment when the most important duty isn't taking care of your wife and your family. And there's never anything more important in my life than taking care of the flock that God has given me. So despite pressure, despite fatigue, we have to be responsible for the people that God has placed in our lives. Now there's a mood in our culture to take care of ourselves first. You know? And perhaps the reason for that is we in some ways may not have taken care of ourselves well in the past. But I think it's become excessive, really. You know, we're more concerned about ourselves than we are about others sometimes. Instead of vacationing in order to work harder, we work hard in order to take vacations. You know, somehow taking care of ourselves, taking vacations, is seen as the goal of life, rather than vacations being a means so by which we might be re-energized to embrace our responsibilities and our cares for others. And we find in Jesus an example of the right way to respond. Our children are like sheep without a shepherd if you're not the shepherd for your children. And the flock of the church is like sheep without a shepherd if I'm not responsible for the church at every moment of my life. Today shouldn't pass without the preachers of the church talking to you about the importance of the shepherds of our church and the importance of vocations to the priesthood. You know, I was asking our seminarians who are serving Mass tonight how many new seminarians we have for Philadelphia next year. And there was a little bit of debate. We're not sure yet because school hasn't started. We have another month before school begins. But it's about 12 new seminarians, which is not nearly enough. Not nearly enough. And the Archdiocese of Philadelphia has to get busy in terms of prayer and petition to God, but also in terms of encouragement of the young men of our Archdiocese to think about the possibility of being priests. Otherwise, we're going to be sheep without shepherds. And we want shepherds who love like Jesus Christ. You know, one of the challenges of our time is the question of celibacy. People say that if we just got rid of that obligation to remain unmarried, we'd have a lot of people who wanted to be priests. You think that's true? You know, it hasn't worked for the Protestant Christian communities who have married clergy. I think that's sometimes an excuse for not doing our part. And the part is twofold. Those of us who can't be priests or are convinced God doesn't want us to be priests have to pray that God makes his will clear to others. And if you are free of the responsibilities of a family, you ought to consider yourself as a potential responder to the invitation of God, who calls certainly enough men to be priests in order to fill the needs of the church of our day. So, how do you know if God might be calling you? If there's something in today's scripture readings that sparked your heart. When you heard about the bad shepherds, a desire to do something better than they did. Or when you experienced Jesus' anxiety when he saw the people gathered around asking for his attention, when he experienced deeply in his guts compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, if that makes sense to you and stirs your own heart, perhaps God is calling you to share in the priesthood of Jesus Christ and to share in his shepherding in our church today. You know, he grants the vocations. It's just that many of us aren't open to listening when he calls. So we ask the Lord as we celebrate the Eucharist today to give the church good shepherds, to help us be good shepherds in our responsibilities, whatever they might be. And we ask the Lord to help us find time and space in our lives, to go off with him, to share with him our lives, so we might embrace the duties and responsibilities he's given us in a greater and more enthusiastic way in the days to come. May the Lord bring to completion the good things he stirs in our hearts this evening.